If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Novel Analyst Podcast. My name is Jed Hearn, author of the fantasy books Fires of the Dead and Across the Broken Stars. And today's episode is titled The Magician's Workshop by Kate Hartfield. Lessons from Interactive Fiction. There will be no spoilers in this episode apart from basic synopsis level descriptions of The Magician's Workshop. This episode is proudly sponsored by my very own book, Fires of the Dead, a fantasy novella. Fires of the Dead is currently available on Amazon in ebook form for just 99 cents. A couple of weeks ago, it hit the number one bestseller status in fantasy adventure fiction. So if you're looking for a great fantasy read that is fast-paced and the kind of thing that you can burn through in one breathless, sleepless night, this is the book for you. Fires of the Dead is about Wisp, a magician who draws energy from fires to make his own flames. Leading a misfit crew, he enters a desolate wasteland to steal a dead sorcerer's skull. But his crew aren't the only ones on the hunt, and the forest isn't as barren as it seems. It's been described as, quote, the perfect read for someone looking to be quickly immersed in a magic system unlike anything else, and that's by Nikki Wallace from Synopsis by Sage. And you can pick that up, as I mentioned before. The ebook is just 99 cents on Amazon. It's also available in audiobook, paperback, and hardcover forms. If you want to pick that up, just go to jedhearn.com/firesofthedead. And the link to that is also in the show notes. And now, back into the show. So you might be wondering what interactive fiction is. Put simply, it's kind of like a more advanced form of those choose-your-own-adventure books that you might remember reading. So essentially how it works is you are presented with a scene of maybe 200 to 300 words, and at the end of that scene, in the piece of interactive fiction that you're reading, which you'll probably be reading it on your phone, on the computer, on the iPad, or another device, at the end of the scene, you will be presented with several decisions, and depending on what decision you pick, it will influence what bit of the story you read next. Because the fiction is not just fiction, but it's also interactive. You also get to guide your own path through it. So you can kind of think about it as a bit like a video game, except there's no sound and there's no images. It's just text. It's just powered by your own imagination. And I recently had the pleasure of interviewing Kate Hartfield, the author of The Magician's Workshop, for this podcast. And that episode will come out in 2 weeks from when this episode airs. So definitely stay tuned for that. But in this episode, I wanted to dive specifically into what lessons us writers of novels and short stories, for instance, can pull out of the experience of reading a piece of interactive fiction. While they are, of course, both fiction, interactive fiction and non-interactive fiction, aka novels, are quite different mediums, but I think as novel writers, there's a lot of things that we can learn from interactive fiction which will make our story more engaging for readers. So, to give some brief context, The Magician's Workshop is set in a Renaissance-era Florence in Italy where magic exists, and you are a young apprentice in a magician's workshop, hence the title. And basically, this is a workshop that provides art for wealthy patrons and also magical equipment for wealthy patrons, that's what I was trying to say. Blah. Voice went all over the place there. And to give you an example of what these might look like, throughout the story, you may have the decision of building a flying machine for someone, for instance, or for creating a fresco, like a painting of sorts, that uses magic to be animated and to move around in a really cool way. I love the Renaissance. It's possibly one of my favorite historical periods. A period that I studied a lot when I was in architecture school. I've also been to Florence, so I've seen a lot of the things firsthand, which were described in the book, in the interactive fiction piece, rather. So this was such an easy sell for me. But really, it was the mechanics of the story and the way the plot unfolded in really interesting and engaging ways that kept me around and kept me, you know, coming away from that story, eager to return. And in fact, I played through the entire thing, which is like 190,000 words long or something. I played through the entire thing twice, so I loved it that much. So the five key lessons that I learnt from this particular piece of interactive fiction can be useful if you are yourself writing interactive fiction or you're wanting to understand that art form more. But I'm sort of basing these on what lessons I took away from that as a novelist. As you will be well aware if you listen to this podcast long enough, I'm fascinated by reading books so that I can extract the things that they did really well and do those in my own writing. So the five lessons that I really took away from The Magician's Workshop by Kate Hartfield was, number one, agency matters. Number two, give characters interesting choices. Number three, make every scene important. Number four, vary the conflict. And lastly, number five, develop a realistic and cohesive setting. What do I mean by all of those? Well, I'm going to dive into them right now. So number one, agency matters. What makes interactive fiction interesting as a medium is that you as the reader are essentially playing the role of the main character. You are deciding what that main character does, the choices they make, the interactions they have with other characters, what kind of character arc they have, in a sense. Now, what's interesting about this is that it gives you as the reader, and therefore it makes you think that the main character has this, it gives you this incredible sense of agency. There's none of this kind of moment that you have in a lot of horror films, for instance, where you're shouting at the screen for the characters to not go down into that scary basement. If you're in an interactive fiction story, you can just say, don't go down into that scary basement. Turn on a light, maybe. Wait until daylight. All decisions that you can make, for instance. And what this really does is, I think it reminds me as a non-interactive fiction author, the importance of giving your characters agency and giving them strong goals and motivations. Too often, it's very easy to let 1,000 words, 2,000 words, 5,000 words slip by in your story without the main character really having any agency. That is, without the main character really having any control over the story. There are certainly stories where it's good for the main character to not have this sense of agency because it's part of the theme. And, for example, The Catcher in the Rye, while it's not a story that I particularly enjoyed, it definitely has a main character with zero agency, and that's sort of part of the theme, and probably part of the reason why I didn't enjoy it that much. While that is one way of looking at it, I find that stories are much more engaging when you're following these fascinating characters who are using their agency to explore the world and drive towards their goals and desires in interesting ways. So take this lesson from interactive fiction and consider how you can give agency not just to your main character, but to every character. Ray Bradbury had an amazing quote amongst the many amazing quotes that he has given out. Ray Bradbury, of course, being the author of Fahrenheit 451, he said that every character in your story should want something, even if it is just a glass of water. Giving characters goals and then giving them the agency to pursue those goals, while it might seem scary to try to balance, you know, a dozen, two dozen different characters' goals and motives and agencies in your story, it will always lead to something that's more interesting and realistic. So that was number one, agency matters. Number two, give characters interesting choices. People are defined by the choices they make. Robert McKee, in his writing advice book, Story, says something along the lines of, true character is revealed in the decisions a character makes under crisis. The stronger the pressure that they are under, the deeper the revelation, and the deeper the character is revealing their true self. When you give characters interesting choices that they respond to in a unique way that is suited just to them, it tells us a lot about a character. For instance, let's pretend that you are writing a bank robbery scene, and the main character is just a normal person in this robbery. Let's say the robbers come in, they, you know, start shooting their guns, they tell everyone to get down, and then the main character just sort of dies on the floor with everyone else. Okay, so you give them a choice, and then you've given the character a fairly average response to the choice. If, on the other hand, you have the main character say, oh, thank goodness, that line was getting too long, and then they just step over the, you know, quivering and terrified bodies of everyone else who dove to the floor so that they can get to the counter and proceed with their transaction, that's a very different type of character that we already start to see a lot of interesting things about her as a character, right? We see that she's not worried about the bank robbers, basically probably has very little concern for other humans, perhaps is a little bit arrogant, that thinking that the robbery won't affect her, and basically you have some interesting things said about that character as a result of that choice. So if you're struggling to define characters and struggling to make your characters unique, consider, are you giving them the most interesting choices to grapple with? And if you are giving them interesting choices to grapple with, are they responding in interesting ways that are different to how 97% of everyone else would respond in that situation? That, to me, when I'm reading a book, is often the mark of a strong writer. Are they demonstrating early on, within the first couple of pages, are they showing a character making a decision that 97%, 99% of other characters in this story world would not make? That doesn't mean that they have to be wacky or esoteric or random, but rather it means, how can you think about writing a character who is different to everyone else in the book and is therefore interesting and a reason for us to follow his or her pursuit and struggles and, you know, goals and actions within this book? So that was number two. Give characters interesting choices. Number three, make every scene matter. In interactive fiction, there is really no time for just sluggish info dumping scenes. You get a bit of that, of course, because you kind of need to set up the world. But what I found is that out of the thousands and thousands of words that I read in The Magician's Workshop by Kate Hartfield, and like I mentioned before, there's 190,000 words in the whole game, I probably only saw maybe about 70,000 of those, because obviously you don't get to see every decision, but every scene mattered. Every scene did something to my character. Every scene presented me with an interesting conflict and an interesting choices to make. Every scene developed the world a bit more, showed me more about the other characters' arcs and the mysteries that were unfolding throughout the book. And this was all in the space of maybe, on average, let's say 100 to 200 words. That's probably the average length of scenes in The Magician's Workshop, but what I saw is that it happens really quickly. It's at first a little disorienting to get used to it, because sometimes fiction can condition us to waiting a whole chapter for this one thing to change, but in The Magician's Workshop, within the space of three paragraphs, something drastic could have changed in, say, the relationship between your character and the other apprentices in the workshop, for instance. Within the space of three lines, so much can change, and that's because it's really a medium that rewards, I suppose, activity and a strong polarity shifts within a scene. It's no good having scenes where nothing happens, because that's when you lose your reader. That's when you lose the engagement of your players. It's a bit like, imagine, I don't really play video games much. I used to design some when I was significantly younger than I am now, but I don't really have time for it at the moment. But imagine a video game where you just spend like 10 minutes walking. I don't know, maybe that is kind of interesting, and if you had a cool landscape, that would be fun, but that's probably not that fascinating, right? Like, you would probably get bored after that long a period of time. But some authors do that in their books. They just have long stretches where nothing really happens. The character kind of moodily looks off into the, over the sea as the waves, you know, smash against the shore or whatever. And while these pensive moments probably can work in films and can sometimes work well in books, a lot of the times you want to be considering how you can make things happen all the time and not just have any downtime within your book. Because, like it or not, readers have a lot of other things that are competing for their time. You know, you've got your phones, you've got your TV, you've got Netflix, and if you're not creating a narrative that is compelling and engaging at every moment, then maybe they won't finish it. Patrick Rothfuss has a really good point that reinforces what I'm trying to say here. He is the author, of course, of The Name of the Wind, which I analyzed way back in episode one of this podcast, which was, yeah, well over a year ago, which is kind of crazy to think. Patrick Rothfuss had a quote along the lines of saying that when he's revising his books, he looks back and he lists every scene, and then he does something really important with each of those scenes. he asks himself how many functions those scenes are serving. So, for example, if a scene is existing just to give readers a small detail about your character's backstory, that's one function. If at the same time, through the unfolding of that small part of his backstory, you also get to increase the stakes because you introduce how another character knows dirty secrets about the main character's past, you've served two functions in that scene, and so forth. And what Patrick Rothfuss was saying is that when he's revising, he tries to make sure that every single scene in his book has at least three functions in it. That at all moments, more than one thing is happening. And what this does is it presents you with a tremendous sense of layering and depth to your narrative. And that, I think, is a really good framework for thinking about your scenes, and it's something that interactive fiction does so well. In pretty much every scene in The Magician's Workshop, you'll be making a decision. That's completely true. Every single scene will end with you making a choice. A minimum of three choices there for you to pick from. And as Kate Hartfield said when I talked to her, which was in the past for me, but will be 2 weeks in the future for you on this podcast, she said that one of the things that she tried to do with that is to make sure that every decision is affecting the narrative. In other words, every scene is important. Whether that means it's adjusting a statistic that your player character has, such as boosting your character's ability to use a certain type of magic, whether it is presenting you with a new place that you haven't explored before or new characters you haven't talked to before, every scene in The Magician's Workshop has to be there. It matters. And of course, actually saying it has to be there, it's probably a bit of a misnomer because you're only probably seeing maybe a third of the scenes on each playthrough. But my point being is that every scene matters. Every scene feels like something important is happening. Even if nothing important is happening, it feels like something important is happening. And that's important to recognize and to emulate in writing a novel. We want to make sure that everything we're writing is there for a purpose. And if that purpose is just to provide us with a bit of a break, with a bit of a rest stop before the next bit of frenetic action, then that's a purpose as well. But just think about Pat's quote of saying that every scene when he's revising, he tries to make sure every scene has at least three functions or more. Not possible all the time, but a good benchmark to aim for. Number four on the lessons learned from interactive fiction, specifically from The Magician's Workshop, vary the conflict. What's great about this story is that there is constant conflict. Within every scene, there is some level of conflict that you are trying to resolve with one of your decisions at the end. The problem is, if you just had the same type of conflict repeated over and over and over again, I probably wouldn't have finished the book. Probably wouldn't have finished the game, rather, because it would have felt boring and repetitive. But what Kate Hartfield did is she varied the type of conflict in each scene. So maybe one scene, the conflict is, oh, our workshop does not have enough supplies. Here are the three supplies we really need, but you only have time to get one. Which one are you going to get? It's going to affect the morale of the different people who need those different supplies. It's going to affect what project we can do. It's going to affect a lot of different things. So even though this doesn't feel like a massively high-stakes thing, it is a form of conflict that keeps you engaged as a player. On the other hand, you have the different scale of conflict where you are maybe deciding, like, do you fight this monster that's attacking you? Or do you try to flee? Or do you try to negotiate with it? Or do you try to do something completely different instead? Now, those, when you look at them objectively, are very different types of conflict. If you were in a life-or-death situation, you'd think that'd be a little bit different to, does my workshop slash place of work have enough supplies? But in the moment, both of these things feel important because they are meaningful decisions for you to make. What's important to take out of this, though, is that what makes the story so engaging is that there's different types of conflict all throughout it, and it ebbs and flows, and it builds to a sense where the conflict at the start of the book is not massively, it doesn't have the perception of importance, perhaps, that some of the conflict at the end of the book does. But there's interesting conflict in there for you to explore. So consider that in your own stories. If perhaps some early readers are saying that your book feels a bit repetitive or it feels slow in the middle, perhaps, that could be a sign that your conflict is not varied enough. That could be a sign that you're repeating the same motif, the same setup, the same, you know, characters who are arguing with other characters, that you're repeating them too much. Instead, what you need to do is think about different ways to create conflict. So, for instance, if your story is some sort of, let's say, like, thriller, if you have three scenes in a row where the main character is getting chased by a larger force of masked baddies, and there's gunshots, and they're chasing over roofs, and you have three of those in a row, by number three, readers are probably going to get pretty tired. Think instead how you could vary that. Maybe the first scene is, it's a chase over the rooftops, but there's no guns because it's in broad daylight in public. Maybe the second scene is that now there's guns involved, but instead of that being a chase, instead of it being a dynamic scene of them moving, it's a more static thing of the character is trapped in a basement with a bunch of other people with guns, and it's kind of like the most tense game of hide and seek you could imagine. Speaking of tense games of hide and seek, I just somehow ripped my hand open with a paper cut from my notebook, but anyway, you can't see that on audio, so I guess just send me virtual wishes with your brain. It's not that bad. And maybe the third scene is that you have a big gunfight in the middle of a very public street, right? Those are three different scenes, and you can probably do a lot better if you think about it for more than 30 seconds, which is all the time I gave myself to think about it. But the point being is that which of those stories are you going to read? Are you going to read the one with the three scenes in a row that are the exact same? Or are you going to read the one that has three different scenes that show different aspects of the world, different ways of the character responding to problems? My money is on the second. Lastly, number five, the fifth lesson from the interactive fiction piece that was The Magician's Workshop: develop a realistic and cohesive setting. In novels, we have the luxury, which is sometimes squandered and comes off really badly, we have the luxury of only presenting to readers the specific facades of our scene that we want to show them. And while this is a luxury, it can be a hindrance. Because when you know that you only have to show readers main street of, you know, any town USA that you are presenting in your story, sometimes it can feel a bit flimsy around the edges, and it can feel like your story is one where if a character was to push on the facade of a building, the whole building would collapse because it's just holed up by popsticks behind it or something. What is interesting about interactive fiction is that there is a much more three-dimensional, exploratory nature to the world. All parts of it have to be considered in at least a fairly decent level of resolution, because the character, who is the reader, can kind of explore any part at almost any time. Granted, it's not quite the same level of exploration as you would get in, say, an open world fantasy video game, for instance, because ultimately whatever scenes have been written is the limit of the world, but there is certainly a sense that you can be exploring different places of Renaissance Florence in The Magician's Workshop, and they all feel cohesive, they all feel like they work together, and that they sit beside each other in a realistic world. And even though you probably are only seeing maybe like 10 unique scenes within that, each scene is really well figured out, and because each scene is structured in a way that you as the player are interacting with it in, you know, 5 or 7 possible different ways, it is more idiot-proofed, in a sense. It's got more of a durability to it than when the author is coasting, knowing that their reader is only going to explore this one little detail of the scene. So to wrap up this episode, here are the 5 lessons that I took away from The Magician's Workshop. Number 1, agency matters. Make sure that all the characters in your story are, you know, doing interesting things and pursuing their goals and their motivations, even if they're smaller. And while this might seem like a hassle, it's going to lead to interesting conflicts as the characters bounce off each other and their desires come at a head. Number 2, give characters interesting choices and present the reader with the character solving those interesting choices in ways that are, ideally, unique to that character's true values. Number 3, make every scene matter. Remember that Patrick Rothfuss quote I shared with you about when he's revising, he tries to make sure that every scene is serving 3 functions or, ideally, more. Make sure that everything you're writing in your book has to be there, and if it isn't, then you might need to consider cutting it, because readers don't want fluff. Number 4, vary the conflict. repetitiveness. Ah, I couldn't even say that word right. I guess that just shows how much I hate it. Repetition is the enemy of interest, unless it's done for dramatic effect. Try to make sure that you are exploring new ways of your characters interacting with the world, new conflicts evolving out of existing ones, and just generally keeping things fresh and exciting and unique throughout your narrative. And then lastly, number 5, develop a realistic and cohesive setting to the extent that if you were to write a spin-off book set in the same world that you are writing, and I don't care if you're writing fantasy or if you're writing romance or if you're writing literary fiction, this is a useful exercise for any author. See if you could write a spin-off novel that would work in the same world as the one you're writing right now. And if you find that the world doesn't hold up when you don't have a different type of character exploring it, then perhaps you need to do more world building. So, like I mentioned, I will be back in 2 weeks' time with an in-depth interview with Kate Hartfield, who wrote The Magician's Workshop. It was a really, really, really good chat talking with her. Like I've said, this has sort of been my first exposure to interactive fiction, and hopefully it won't be the last. I really enjoyed this, and I would highly recommend that you download the Choice of Games app. This is not a sponsored plug or anything, although I would love for them to sponsor me. Choice of Games, get on the phone. Basically, the Choice of Games app is free on your app stores, and it lets you play all these different interactive fiction games, such as The Magician's Workshop. The Magician's Workshop is a paid game, so you do have to pay to download it, but you can try the first three chapters for free. And there are a lot of interesting things in the first three chapters, because to give you an example, I think the book is divided into 10 chapters, so you're getting like 30% of it for free or something like that. Otherwise, there's another really good free one called Sky Pirates of Actorius, which I played as well, where you are in a kind of like pirate airship as an undercover agent. That's really cool as well. And I would love for you to let me know what are the lessons that you have learned from interactive fiction, if you've had some experience with the medium, or if you choose to go off and, you know, give it a shot after this episode. Let me know. Send me an email at jed.hearn1@gmail.com. Link to that in the show notes. Or send me a tweet on Twitter. I'm at jedhearn. As always, I love hearing from you, and it's always a big delight to my day when I get to hear listener feedback on this podcast. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode. I will be back in 2 weeks with an interview with Kate Hartfield. Until then, go and write extraordinary stories. I'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.